Thank you. Beautiful music. Hey, how are y'all? So good to be back, and I do want to say thank you, Brother Abels, for inviting Joyce and I to be here this year for Vacation Bible School. Thank you for the wonderful accommodations, and I don't know who set the apartment up for us, but as soon as we walked in the front door, the first thing I saw was a bag of Doritos, and I knew this is the right spot. So, hey, man, we are looking forward to the week, and Joyce and I have already been in town. We did, first thing, we ran out to our favorite Shanghai Inn and got cashew chicken as soon as we got in town just the other day, and we have just had a wonderful time. Can I just bring you up to speed? Have I mentioned my grandkids yet? I don't know if I have, but let me see. It's been 2 years since we've been here, and we've had more grandkids since then. Christian Joy and John, our son-in-law John, moved back from Scotland since we've been here last. And, of course, they're two kids, and they're doing wonderfully. Our Scottish grandbabies are now New Jersey grandbabies, and they're there in the church with us. And Christian Joy is behind the piano playing again for services, which is a great joy. Our son Thomas, the next one up, and his wife Deanna, they just gave us another grandson, little Grayson Thomas. He's just a few months old, and they've got four kids, and such a blessing. Tom is, of course, he's our song leader at the church, and of course, Deanna does a whole lot of stuff over their ministry there. And the next one up, Eric and Rachel, they're expecting their fifth one. So this will be, now we have 14 grandkids right now. We have an even 7 and 7. So this is the tiebreaker coming up. And my oldest granddaughter reminded me a few months ago when I mentioned about us having this even number. She says, Pup, you know we're kind of an odd family. And so we're all excited about number 15 being born. And so you see Rachel's due, is it September time frame? So coming in the fall, so that'll be number 15 for us. And they're not going to let us know if it's a boy or a girl. Or it's going to be a surprise for all of us. Buzz and Joy, and of course they've got four kids. And the oldest one, our oldest granddaughter, Hannah Joy, she just graduated from high school. I know she'll be 18 coming up in a few months, and I got to teach her how to drive. I had such a good, I mean, ever since she was like 9 years old, I'm like, Hannah, you going to let Pup teach you how to drive? Oh, yeah. So when it came time, she said, here we go, and we had a blast, and I got to take her driving and took her for a lesson. This is my rule when we, and I don't know how you parents do with driving, but, you know, I'd pick my granddaughter. I did this with my boys, all the kids, but I'd pick them up, and I'd have a cup of coffee in my hand, and I'd take the lid off of it, and I said, if you spill this coffee, we're going back to the house. It never failed. It worked every time. And so anyway, so Hannah got her driver's license just a short while back, and we're excited about that. Buzz and Joy, they have 14 chickens and 4 ducks. So we have grand chickens and grand ducks. And David lived just a few blocks from us, and we're excited about that. And all four of the kids and their spouses are in the church, and all 14 and a half grandkids are there in the ministry with us. Oh my, it just doesn't get any better than that. And I tell you, I was just sitting in the pew listening and to the choir sing, and I'm looking up there and I'm seeing parents and kids singing together in the choir, and the special was beautiful, and I see multiple generations there. And as I look out, it's a blessing to see your children and your children's children, and then for some of you, your children's children's children sitting with you, worshiping the Lord together, and that is a great joy. And we're experiencing that and loving every bit of it. Brother Abels had mentioned we've been out there 25 years. We left here in 96, started the ministry out there through Lehigh Valley Baptist Church. So we had a celebration Sunday a short while ago, which is 25 years since I've been there, as they called me to be the pastor of that mission work. But we're going to have a big old celebration in about 2 years for our 25th anniversary of the church's organization. And looking forward to that. It was a great time. And of course, Pastor Gray came out and preached during my ordination and charge during the organizational service. And it goes by fast. 25 years goes by so fast. It feels like we're just getting started out there. And we're just having a wonderful time serving the Lord faithfully and trying to instill a lot of the doctrine that we learned here into the lives of others there in New Jersey, and seeing some men being prepared for the ministry, and just looking forward to seeing what God's going to do in the next 25 plus years. And you know what all that's about. You have celebrated that on as you celebrated 50 years not too long ago, and what a blessing that is. I want to direct your attention this morning to Jeremiah chapter 1, if you would please. Jeremiah chapter 1. And Joyce and I, we were sitting in the pew there. She said, get me those tissues. You know, she's wiping her eyes and stuff. And she asked me, she says, how you doing? I said, I'm not doing too good. She said, she's such a blessing to me. She said, just suck it up, big boy, you know. She is such a blessing. Amen. And it is emotional to be here, and only because we have so many friends here in this church and have for so many years. And I am so thankful to this ministry. When Joyce and I came here, of course, we were just, runt kids, if you would, just going to Bible college. And really, I learned so much from this church. And of course, Pastor Gray was our pastor for 8 years while we were here. And Mrs. Gray, of course, was a great encouragement to my wife. And all of you have played a very integral part in our lives and now in our ministries. And I do want to thank you for that. And I pray the Lord will bless you as you continue serving the Lord faithfully here and holding true to the doctrines which the Word of God has committed to us. I want to direct your attention to Jeremiah chapter 1, and I'm going to read down through, as a matter of fact, I'm going to start in verse number 4. I'm just going to read down through a couple verses, and don't get started with the preaching today. But if you would, if you could, please stand with me for the reading of God's Word this morning. Jeremiah chapter 1, I'll start in verse number 4. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. And the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Let's pray. Father, I just want to thank you. It is a great joy to be able to be here at Berean Baptist Church this day. And Lord, I'm so thankful for the ministry that is here and continues to be a beacon of light in this community and in this dark world. I pray, Father, that you would take this opportunity today through your precious word to encourage and help and build up this those that are part of this ministry. And I pray, dear Father, also, if there's any without Christ that are here with us today, that this message and the word of God would be powerful in their lives, opening up their eyes to the glorious gospel, allowing the light of that gospel to shine in, that it would bring forth fruit unto repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray, Lord, that you would bless now and help me, oh dear Father, help me to communicate the things you have laid upon my heart, and to be a help and encouragement. And Lord, we just give you the glory for it all. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Well, we're going to, I don't know if, I guess the guys in the sound, hello, Brother Lance, so good to see you today. And I get to stare at you during the whole preaching. Oh, my. And I don't know if you guys, you get to write down the titles for the messages. You know, I'm really horrible with message titles. And the guy that takes care of our stuff back at home, he's always shaking his head. He says, I had to listen to your sermon twice before I come up with a sermon title, you know. And so he just stopped doing it after a while. So, Bro Lance, I don't know what you're going to do. All right, we're going to, one word title, brother. All right, two letters, too. A-H. Ah! Can you get that? All right. If you look, please look at our text this morning. Look at verse number 6. It says, then said I, oh, Lord God, Behold, I cannot speak. You know what we're going to talk about today? What we see in the Word of God is that God speaks to Jeremiah. It says very clearly, it says, then the word of the Lord came unto me. And this is one of those phrases that you're going to see a lot as you read through the book of Jeremiah. I don't know how y'all doing with your Bible reading this year. Some of you read through the Bible every year, which is a blessing. And as you read through the book of Jeremiah, you're going to see that phrase often. Now, you do see it in other prophets. I'm not saying it's unique to Jeremiah, but Jeremiah, you'll see it a lot in the book of Jeremiah, where the word of the Lord comes to Jeremiah, and it comes to Jeremiah, and it comes to Jeremiah. And we see at the beginning, as the word of the Lord's coming to him, the impact that it has in his life. And it's an overwhelming. Now, I looked this word up in the Hebrew. And in the Hebrew, it's the word, ah! It's a great word. There's just not too many ways you'll see it sometimes. It's the word alas. And it's one of those words that's kind of an overwhelming feeling. It's an expression. It's a word that, you know, with like when all words fail, you know, what comes out of your mouth kind of word. Well, that's the kind of word that it is. And it's the result of the illumination of the Word of God in your life. When God speaks to you and you know that He's speaking to you, it impacts you. Now, I'm not one to mingle with famous people. But I would imagine if somebody who was famous was to speak to me, I would kind of like pop the ears up a little bit and want to listen and hang on to every word. And I collect a lot of quotes and sayings like that. Matter of fact, I had quoted this several weeks ago at my granddaughter's graduation kind of celebration, and it was a tremendously great quote. And y'all know who Mike Tyson is? Great quote. Everybody has a plan till they get punched in the face. Isn't that a great quote? You just want to hang on to every word of famous people, you know? And because you figure if somebody's famous, they've got something important to say. Well, there is nobody more famous than the Lord who has more important things to say than anyone else. And so when God speaks and we know that He's speaking to us, it has an impact. And that's exactly what happened in Jeremiah's life. He had that ah moment, okay? It's a great sermon title, Brother Lance. Write that down, okay? Ah! I don't know how many times that's happened to you, but it certainly has happened to me many times in my Christian life. I remember the first day I met the Lord Jesus Christ, and it was one of those moments. I know I've shared my testimony here before, so I won't go into a whole lot of detail, but I was 19, soon to be 20 years old. Joyce and I had been married for a year or so. We got married right out of high school, and Joyce's parents had invited us to church many times, and I finally gave in and went, and I was sitting in that church house, and there was, you know, music going on, and that was nice. They sang Beulah Land. I had no idea what a Beulah was. Serious, never heard that song in my life, didn't have a clue what it meant, but I'm sure glad that after all the singing that the pastor got up and said a few words, and I heard a message from God about His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and my heart went, ah! I found myself to be hopeless and helpless and of great need for God's grace, and I saw it that day. And I responded to not some emotional plea, I'd never seen an invitation in my life. Had no idea what any of that meant. I just knew I needed something that God was offering. And my wife and I both were saved that day. Amen. And that's the first time I had one of those ah moments. And they've happened many times since then. And I remember the day the Lord called me into the ministry. I was sitting on the opposite side of the church that day. Okay, and I remember hearing the preaching of God's word. It was the same thing. And I remember the word of God being preached, and I remember God laying a burden on my heart for the ministry, and it was the same type of moment. Now, I can only tell you what's happened to me, and I don't know what's happened in your life, but I do know this. When God speaks, It has an impact. It makes a difference. It changes us. It gets our attention. It pulls us in. It captivates us in every way, shape, or form, and pushes us to want to respond to the words that he's saying. And we see it so often in the scriptures of those that have had these moments and how they react to it. Here with Jeremiah, we're going to talk about some of this, but you know, he saw his inabilities. This is an amazing thing when God speaks. You would think, you know, somebody important comes to you and wants to talk to you, and you're thinking to yourself, oh, I must be somebody important because somebody important wants to speak to me. But what I see in the Word of God is when God speaks to someone, it humbles them. It breaks them. It exposes them to things they've never seen before. Not only about God, but about themselves. I'm undone. I'm unclean. I can't do this. And God's saying, you're exactly right. Has God's Word come to you? I would ask you that this morning. Has God's Word come to you? You know, we're reminded in the Scriptures, keep your place here if you would, but go with me over to Hebrews chapter 1. And many of you are familiar with the introductory verses to Hebrews. And it says that God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. And we see this progression, of course, of God wanting to speak to him. And we have the Old Testament prophets. We have these scriptures we're reading. You know, we started reading in the book of Jeremiah this morning, and that's what he's speaking about in verse number 1. And then we have the Gospels, of course, and appreciate the message this morning in Sunday school and Brother Brian teaching today. And in the Sunday school class, we hung out over on that side and in the class, in the fellowship class. Always enjoy going over there. And, you know, we see in the Gospels the words of the Lord Jesus Christ and God wanting to speak to us and God speaking to his people, and of course God speaking to the whole world, the Lord Jesus Christ sending out his word, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly. You know, with the Lord Jesus Christ, you find rest for your soul. And this is the call. This is the word of God that goes out. And turn just a few pages over on the back of the book of Hebrews. Of course, you get to James and then 1 and 2 Peter. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1. We're just speaking about the word of God this morning. And Peter mentions this in verse number 19, chapter 1 of 2 Peter. What he says, we have a more sure word of prophecy whereunto you. Please notice, what does it say? There, you do well to take heed. We have a more sure word of prophecy whereunto you do well that ye take heed. Yeah, we would do well to listen to the word of God. God wants to speak to us. He does speak to us. His word is presented to us. The preaching of God's word, of course, from pulpits across this country and across this world, declaring the word of God. We're not talking about cunningly devised fables. We're not talking about stories or moral lessons. We're talking about the Word of God, which is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And the intent of that Word as it goes out is that you would take heed to it. It's talking about this, a pause for a moment to listen. We just flew out here from Philly. We flew American Airlines. If you've been listening in the news lately, you know they've been canceling hundreds of flights. And so we were kind of worried that maybe we wouldn't end up here this week. But everything went smooth, and I appreciate we asked a lot of people to be praying about that. But it was a blessing to be able to get here on time. But we're sitting on the flight. I don't know, probably many or most of you have flown before. And I don't know about you, but I don't pay a lot of attention when the stewardess gets up there and shows me how to buckle my seatbelt. I've done that once or twice. And you know, there are exits, and there are two here, and there are two there, and there one might be one behind you. And I'm like, yeah, okay. You know, if the plane goes down, I'll be going, where's the exit? I know that. You would be, you know, you're going to, you do the same thing. Come on. Because there's certain things we just don't take heed of. I don't pay a lot of attention to that one, okay? And I can read the word exit, and when I'm panicking, I can still read, okay? And so there's certain things that we don't take heed of. Now, I'm sorry to say that there are a lot of that came because of familiarity, okay? You've sat on a plane once or twice, you got it down. But isn't it a shame that we get so familiar sometimes with the Word of God that we stop taking heed to things? And it is the reality of it. And, you know, Joyce and I have been saved 40 plus years, and we still, it's still a necessity for us to follow exactly what Peter is saying here about taking heed. That taking heed requires a pausing and a reflection and then a response. And often, this is the reality, I think, for all of us sometimes as we're reading our Bibles or even listening to sermons. We will, we're listening, but we're not really taking heed. Okay, we're not pausing and reflecting and then desiring to respond to it, finding out what God wants me to do. Lord, what would you have me to do? And so this is where Jeremiah is at. And so go back with me to our text. And so this is where he is at. This is first and foremost, it is a call to service for Jeremiah. The Word of God calls us to service, even as, like, for instance, Samuel was called to service when he was just a runt kid, and as he's there in the temple as a child. And, you know, we're having vacation Bible school this week, and I love working with kids. And I think half the time it's because I act like a kid most of the time, and I just, you know, I enjoy it. One of the reasons I like working with kids is because kids don't fake their attention or response to what's being said. Adults are really good at it. So, you know, you're sitting back there listening going, yeah, amen, amen. And you're thinking to yourself, what's the score? You know, is St. Louis playing today? Anyway, grown-ups are really good at putting on facades. Kids don't do that. You know when you've lost them. Kids are... Brother Brian, you were talking about, there you are. You were talking about how Luke, you know, is dealing with kids, talking about Jesus dealing with kids in his gospel. It's exactly right. And Christ had a desire of interacting with them and talked about childlike faith and those type of things. And that is so true. And I love working with children. And that's one of the reasons for that is because you get this immediate connection. You know if they're paying attention. And you see the desire to respond to truth as it's coming across, and a lot of times adults, well, they just don't do that as well as kids do, and I love seeing that with kids, and you know, of course, we've got a gob of grandkids, and I love seeing our grandkids involved in the ministry, but children need to hear the Word of God. I mean, just as young as possible. And, you know, our ministry has a lot of young families. We have a lot of kids in our ministry. I love seeing, especially the little ones, I love seeing them up in the services whenever possible. I tell parents that you don't need to take your kids to junior church or nursery. You can keep them up there with you. It doesn't bother. But what if they cry, Brother Shorter? I say, well, I just take it as an amen, and I just keep going. And it doesn't bother me one bit, but and I love it. And we do a lot of scripture memorization, and even with the kids. And I love it when you get little kids saying Bible verses for the first time. And I mean, it can be as wrong as could be. You know, they might get a couple words in there, but it thrills my heart to hear kids responding. Because the Word of God can have an impact on their lives just as much as it has on your life as an adult. And from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith. That was spoken of Timothy, who grew up to have an unfeigned faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. because his mom and his grandma made sure he was in the preaching service and he heard the word of God. It's the word of God that makes the difference. I mean, I love kids being in church, but it's the word of God that makes the difference in their lives. And what a blessing. And Jeremiah heard the word of God. Samuel heard it when he was a child. Others, Timothy heard it when he was a child. Jeremiah, I don't know how old he is at this point. He's not a kid, but he's hearing the word of God. It's a call to service for him. Go back to our text. I'm not sure if you're there or not. I know I've been all over the place already. And he is hearing this call to service. He said, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and I ordained thee for a prophet unto the nations. It's a call to service. This is not saying that Jeremiah was saved before he was born. That's not what it's talking about at all. Let me just remind you that, for instance, if you were Jewish and you were of the line of Levi and you were born into a priestly order family, you were born set apart for God's service. You were, and because of the nature of your connection to this Jewish family. And so being sanctified or set apart is not talking about salvation. It's talking about God's purpose or design for your life. And I just want to say this, that God has a purpose and a design for everyone in this place. Everyone that is here. And you know, even with the Lord Jesus Christ talked about the fact that if folks weren't going to praise him, God could just raise up the rocks to do it, okay? And, you know, God had a purpose for Jeremiah. And let me just say, I mean, I believe in free will, and Jeremiah could have said, no, thank you. And God would have found a different way, a different man, a different prophet. But God had set him apart to do that. Let me remind you of somebody like Esther for such a time as this, right? And Mordecai said, "Hey, if you just shut your mouth and do nothing, then God will raise up someone else for our deliverance. But don't think you're off the hook." I'm paraphrasing, of course. And isn't that the reality? That God has a purpose for you. He's not going to make you do anything you don't want to do. But I tell you, what a blessing it is if you follow God's word and do what he's called you to do. Now, Jeremiah, this is a call to service for Jeremiah. When the word of God comes in a person's life, it often comes in a call to service for Jeremiah. Certainly that was the case. God would raise up this man to be a tremendous prophet for the nation of Israel, just like he raised up many others. And you know, it's not just, I do realize, of course, not everybody's called to the ministry. And I was thinking about some of the others that we see in the scriptures that God had a purpose and a calling for them. The first one that came to my mind when I was thinking about that was Mary, the mother of the Lord Jesus. And you know, what did she have to offer God? She had to offer purity and servanthood. Wow. And how God used her. And I look at others. You know, brother, you were talking about, I really enjoyed your Sunday school lesson this morning, brother. And I took a lot of notes till my pen ran out of ink, you know. You know, I think about others, some of the other women that follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And what they had to offer, they had a life full of sinfulness. Yet when God spoke, when the word of God came and they repented of their sins and put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, they had a life filled with forgiveness and a desire to serve. And it's amazing what God can do with it. I don't know what you have that God has prepared you for. I don't know what God has got planned for your life, but I do know this, that God has a plan for all of us. He has a purpose for all of us. He makes it clear in Jeremiah's life, before you were even born, I had this thing worked out. And we just happen to serve a God who knows the beginning from the end. And, you know, why God would call us, and I speak of myself as now I've been pastoring for 25 years, I still sit at home sometimes and wonder why in the world God ever thought that I'd be good enough to be a pastor, because I certainly am not. And I don't know, but God knew. God had it planned from before I was ever born that he would call me to the ministry. I mean, what was he thinking? But when the word of God came, like it came to Jeremiah, when the word of God came, it was overwhelming. And it shook me to my core. And I saw all the deficiencies laid out before me. And I said, oh, Lord God, I cannot. And he says, yeah, you're right, you can't. So I don't know what God's doing in your life, but I do know that God always speaks. And God has a plan for you. He's always, always had a plan for you. And we just must be willing to respond to the call. Not only is this a call for service, but I want you're here with Jeremiah. Notice what he says. He's going to ordain him to be a prophet. That's in verse number 5, a prophet unto the nations. So his ministry is going to expand out. Jeremiah speaks about the fact that he can't speak, which is certainly true, that God was going to give him that ability. Please notice down in verse number 9, he says, the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root up and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down and to build and to plant. And we see that God had a plan for it. Take your Bibles there in Jeremiah and turn over a couple pages to chapter number 7. And I want you to notice what goes on. And I said this earlier. You'll see this repetition all throughout the book of Jeremiah about the word of the Lord coming unto Jeremiah. And the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. This is verse number 1 of chapter 7, saying, stand in the gate of the Lord's house and proclaim there this word and say, hear the word of the Lord, all ye of Judah, and enter into these gates, to worship the Lord. And this is this progression. So not only does the word of the Lord come to us to call us to service, but please notice the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah and he said to him to stand and say. This is how this works, okay? Because if the word of the Lord has come to you, the intention, of course, is to transform your life, which the word of God does, but also provide for you what is necessary so that you can stand and say the word of the Lord to others. If it's like this, if it ain't coming in, it ain't going out, okay? It's that simple. We were talking about catfish, brother. This is an important subject matter. And because you don't get a lot of, there's not a lot of places that serve catfish in New Jersey. I'm just sorry to say that. All right. There used to be like a catfish gallery here in town. This was years ago. Oh, I love that place, man. Anyway, we were at Cracker Barrel not too long ago. They have Cracker Barrels in New Jersey, and it's the only place in New Jersey, I think, that you can actually find catfish. All right. I'm sure it's frozen, shipped in from, you know, like Russia or something. But anyway, I ordered the catfish, and the waiter comes back out, the server comes back out and says, sir, I'm sorry, but we are out of catfish. Oh my, I know, I was brokenhearted. And I'm thinking to myself, how can they possibly be run out of catfish? I mean, it's not like a popular item, it's not like every, I mean, when's the last time you ordered catfish? Seriously? Yes. She's got good taste. All right. I picked the right person to ask. Not too many folks order catfish, all right? So how can they run out of catfish? Well, if the catfish is not coming in the back door, it can't be sold out the front door. You know what I'm saying? You ruined my sermon illustration. If it's not coming in the back door, it can't go out the front door. And it is so true. Because if the Word of God is not coming into your life on a regular basis, it can't go out the other direction. How can you minister? How can you teach? How can you instruct? How can you be a blessing to others if you're not being blessed yourself? And to speak, because God's been speaking to him. And it doesn't matter if you're teaching a Sunday school class or brother standing behind the pulpit or sitting in your kitchen with your kids or your grandkids and you're being fed the word of God. and then you're able to minister. Because that's what the Word of God, that's one of the purposes of the Word of God in your life, is not just to make you smart, get you to, you know, fill out the Bible trivia booklet that you just bought, you know. That's not the purpose of it. The purpose is to minister. And if you're not ministering with the Word of God, then I'm asking you, why is that? Well, it's possible because you don't got enough of it in you. Right. Nothing's being presented because nothing's being taken in. So how's that going in your life? Are you being filled, overflowing? Are you busting at the seams with truth? We're not talking about intelligence. We're not talking about pride. We're not talking about any of those things. We're just talking about the fact you've been blessed by God, by His Word, and so you cannot help but being a blessing to others. It permeates you. It's like eating garlic every day. Everybody knows it, okay? You're getting the Word of God in you, and everybody knows it. How's that going? So, Jeremiah has this moment, right? The Word of God comes to him, calls him in the ministry. The Word of God is so filling in his life that he's going to stand up. God's calling him to stand up and to say these things, and he's presenting truth to others. Please notice what, are you there in chapter 7? That's where I left off at. Look at verse number 3. I stopped in verse number 2. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. You know, this is probably the most important part of the Word of God coming. And that is the call to salvation. It's the Word of God that brings salvation. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by, you know, it doesn't get any simpler than that, right? When the Word of God came to my life the first time, and you know, God just broke. I was raised in religion. I was very religious, went to church every Sunday, and I had my testimony track that I wrote years ago. It's entitled "I Had a System, But I Needed a Savior." Okay, and so you get the idea. I had a structure. I had a religious system. It was in place, and it worked for me. It was convenient to my lifestyle, you know, because, you know, I could get away with whatever I wanted to, but I had a system to take care of stuff that I needed to. And then all of a sudden, the Word of God came in. And you know what the Word of God did? It certainly didn't reinforce any of that. Poop! It kicked it right out from underneath me. And I'm hopeless. And that's what the Word of God does. It shows us our hopelessness before God. And because of that hopelessness, I reached out to the Lord Jesus Christ, who had already been reaching out to me. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He took me out of that miry clay and he set my feet upon a rock. One of the great things about the Word of God is it calls us to salvation. I'm reminded, of course, in Acts chapter 9, where a man named Saul of Tarsus, who was a Pharisee, had a religious background, very spiritual man, had a great zeal for the things that he believed was important, like trying to annihilate this growing Christianity. And the Word of God began to come to him. Now, I honestly do believe that Saul, he was already under some conviction. And, you know, I just put the pieces together from the puzzle that's laid out before me in the book of Acts, and I see him there at the death of Stephen. Of course, he was one of the early deacons in the church there in Jerusalem. And of course, Stephen, man, he preached a nice sermon on the day of his death, all right? And called them a stiff-necked people, and just he knew how to win friends and influence enemies, you know. He just preached the word of God. Saul of Tarsus was there. He heard that. Stephen used to preach in the synagogues around Jerusalem. I'm only guessing. This is just my opinion on this one, but I'm only guessing that Saul probably sat in one of those synagogues and heard this young man preach. And so when God came to him, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. It's hard for you to fight against this poking, this conviction." Because that's what the Word of God does. And when the Word of God comes into a person's life, it's quick and it's powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. It convicts. It's the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God, which reproves us of sin and of righteousness and of judgment to come. And that's because that's what the Word of God does in the hands of the Spirit of God. And Saul responded to that, "Lord, what would you have me to do?" I'd imagine there are some here today that the Word of God has come into your life. The preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ about the death and the burial and the resurrection of Christ. And, you know, for myself, it was a story. I learned all those things from a child. And I knew all those things. I knew that Jesus Christ was born. We celebrated it every Christmas. I knew he had died. We celebrated it every Easter. I understood about the fact that I was a sinner. Because, I mean, let's face it, everybody's a sinner. That was no big deal. And then God spoke to me. "Well, how are you going to deal with that sin, young man?" "Oh, I'll do this and I'll do this and I'll do this." And all of a sudden I realized that not by works of righteousness which you have done, but according to my mercy, I saved you. It's the washing of regeneration. It's the renewing of the Holy Spirit. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And that whole religious system that I had got kicked out from underneath my feet, and I was standing there holding on by a thread under the, you know, over top of the fires of hell, realizing that at any moment I could be cast into hell because I was desiring salvation, but I was desiring it of my own will and of my own plan and of my own works, and God says, "None of that works for me." And there I was, hopeless. You know what brought me to that place of hopelessness? The Word of God. Amen. I heard the truth. And it transformed my life. And I'd imagine there are some here today that have heard this message many times. So I may not be telling you anything new. But hopefully reminding you that God still loves you. He's still calling out your name and still saying, "Come unto me." You know, the Word of God is powerful. And also the Word of God was made flesh and dwelt among us. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Word of God. And the Lord Jesus Christ was sent to this world to seek and to save that which was lost. So God is still declaring His word through His Son to us this day. If you've never responded to God's message of salvation, I do pray that today would be the day of salvation for you. But my brothers and sisters in Christ, what Jeremiah went through in this portion of Scripture, we just read a couple of the verses here from Jeremiah chapter 1, I know. But what he went through was a life-transforming event because the Word of God was involved. Now, God is still speaking today. And some of you that are here today, I just want to put a lot of things out here real quick. There are some that are here today that God is burdening for the work of the ministry, as he did with Jeremiah right here in Jeremiah chapter 1. And if that's the case, please, please respond to the Word of God. There are some here today that God has been dealing with other areas of service. And I just want to remind you that God has a place for every one of us to serve Him. This is not a select few, okay? It's not the 20% do 80% of the work kind of stuff, all right? I hate those statistics. We all serve God. And so God has a place for you. And God has designed in your life an area of service where He is going to receive glory. And I don't care how old you are. All right, can I tell some stories? I'll limit it to one story. One of my daughter-in-laws started a bell choir a few years ago. I might have mentioned that before here. And she asked me, she said, you know, she does call me pastor every once in a while when she needs something done at church. But most of the time, you know, I'm pup-up, you know. And so she said, would you mind if we started a bell choir? I said, yeah, I'm good with that. I'm going to need to buy so-and-so. I said, you know, whatever you need, you know. I'm a pushover, especially with my daughter-in-laws, all right. And so whatever you need. So she buys the bell. She starts teaching the kids. And, you know, it's all age groups. And so, you know, we'll have some, I guess the youngest in it, is the youngest four? We have some three-year-olds. We have some three, you know. They're adorable, okay? So my daughter-in-law Joy does wonderful with the kids. And, you know, they have Bible lessons and stuff. And she teaches music. They learn to sing. And then they teach the bells and stuff. They're color-coded. So even I can learn that, you know. Ring the red bell now, okay? So you get these kids up front. What are you laughing at? You get these kids up front, and the three-year-olds, you know, and they're standing there, and they're just locked on to Miss Joy, and she's got the little chart, and she's going down there, and they're just, you know, like this. And then they get to their bell, right? And they're going, that is the most precious thing that I can imagine, all right? And not because it's entertaining to watch three-year-olds up in front. But you know something? That three-year-old is serving God. And I see that. And it just warms my heart when I see that. Because serving God is for everyone. Amen. And suffer the little children to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of God. And when these little kids can serve the Lord, It thrills me. And I will say, it probably thrills me more than I see adults serving God, because, you know, like I said, adults can really fake a lot of stuff, but kids can't, you know. And so God has a place for you. And the Word of God's going to come to you. It's going to say, I want you. There's something I want you to do for me. And we can be like Jeremiah, certainly, and Moses did the same thing. We see it in other places in Scripture. Oh, Lord, I can't. Gideon does the same thing. Okay, we'll all go through the part, all right? Did you get that sermon title down, Lance? Good, all right. We're all going to go through that, but once all that dust of is settled, then God said, all right, let's get with this. God has a place for you. Allow the Word of God to come into your life and allow that Word to affect you and impact you. Then you respond. Take heed to it. You respond to it and then do what God wants you to do. For some of you, it's salvation. Okay? For all of you, it's service in some way. And then you're going to minister to others through the very thing that God has blessed you with the most, and that's His precious Word. God has got a plan for you. Let's pray. Father, I'm so thankful, Lord. You have been so good to us, and I don't know why, Lord, that you have...